Good afternoon. It's Tuesday, March 29th.
Lord, if we ask for your blessing on our time together, that your truth would flow, that our ears would receive your truth. And Lord, that they would really be spiritual ears. Spiritual ears. Give us spiritual ears. Give us spiritual ears today, but then just generally, give us spiritual ears to hear your word as you would have it to be heard. Like we say, Keith says, truth is what you mean by what you say. So, Lord, we ask that you do that good work in us by your Spirit. Amen. I didn't quite get it right, did I? The truth is what God meant by what he said.
I always have to think about that.
Definition of that, the Bible that I thought was mine. The preacher's model.
Okay.
It might be right. It might be that one down. Is that a smaller one or a bigger one?
Bigger one.
Yeah, that's okay. At least I can read it. I have had something on my mind that I really can't get rid of it, and that is the fact that I'm thinking that the revelation of who Jesus is a lot more important than any of us have grasped yet. And I tell you why. There's a reason for it. It says in John 17:3. It says, and this is life eternal. Or this is life, this is eternal life. Does that mean anything? If something following that is eternal life, is that important?
So could be the difference between heaven and hell.
And this is eternal. This is life eternal, I think it says, doesn't it, in the King James?
Yes.
That they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Does it matter if we know him? If we know God, do we have to know who he is? And Jesus says God is spirit. And we have some understanding of who he is. But is that eternal life to know God? Is that why there's only few there be that find it? Is it eternal life to know that Jesus is a man? Even in our Trinity-inspired Bibles, it still shows us that Jesus is a man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement.
And so, when it says in 1 John 4, to not believe every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they're from God or not, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is born in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess that he's born in the flesh is not from God. And that's the spirit of the Antichrist. Okay, so if he's born in the flesh, and he tells us in Luke that he's not spirit, that God did not create a spirit, God created a man. Flesh and blood, or flesh and bones. Does it matter? It seemed to matter in that instance. It says that it has not yet appeared what we're going to be, but when he appears, we're going to be like him. And if he rose as a man and he ascended as a man, is he going to come back as a man?
It's
Don't know why not.
Well, soon he's going to come back the same way as I'm leave. So anyway, my point is that even though God has mercy even on the Trinitarians, the Trinity is still not his thing. God is not a member of a Godhead, of a three-part thing. That was instituted a couple hundred years after Christ was left under Constantine and the Roman Emperor and the Catholic Church or whoever else was available at the time, the Council of Nicaea. So if they all decided that God was a Trinity, but he's not, does it matter?
Not to us right now, because we have the revelation. It matters to all of the people that don't, though.
But I have felt, when I prayed for Jerome, I believed in the Trinity. And I think that, who is the guy that raised people from the dead? What was his name? He is from
Wigglesworth? Didn't he raise people from the
dead? You're talking about Smith Wigglesworth, or are you talking about the more recent guy that Simon Lee followed?
No, Smith Wigglesworth.
Okay.
And I think I have no way of knowing what he believed. But I think he was a Trinitarian. And, of course, he might not have been, because there were quite a few churches that would not let him preach in their church. So maybe he did have a handle on it. We have no way of knowing why they wouldn't preach. They wouldn't let him preach. And
I'll get it later, Charlie.
So, anyway... But back in those days, it might not have been as big an issue as it would even be today.
I bet that's right. I think you can have a concept in your head. You don't necessarily have it come out of your mouth, but it's in your head, in which you do recognize that God is a spirit and Jesus Christ was a man.
But if he was considered the one book man, would you think that he would kind of grasped that Jesus was a man?
Yeah. Well, that's only if God wanted him to.
I suppose you can't
say, I read the Bible for 60 years, I know it. Because we would just say categorically, that's deception. I can read the Bible for 60 years, I can dwell in it day and night. And if God so wills and moves, and the Holy Spirit is sent and provides revelation, then I might have an ear to hear. And anything other than that, I think you run the risk of giving man too much credit.
Mm-hmm. No, what you say is so quirky. On the other hand, it's a little weird for the Lord to use the man so powerfully and to have him be in deception, or whatever you want to call it, or significant error as far as the nature of the Godhead. That would be odd. Now God could be odd. So
why is it odd?
Yeah.
Why though is it odd?
You would think that you would want an actual revelation of the nature of the Godhead to be used in that kind of way.
If that was important, right?
Well, yeah. For that, you know, it was.
If
things can be for an hour. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it might not have been a revelation for that hour, but we're in a different hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was not important then might become important now.
What's important to God?
Yeah, well, God lets things unfold in his good timing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know.
And we don't know. He might have had the revelation.
Yeah, he might.
Right. And no one's... On a purely natural level, I'd like to think that if I was diligently seeking the Lord with all my heart, that he'd let me in on some of the truths, and the revelation would come, and that he wouldn't keep me in some darkness, especially significant darkness, that he would shine some light. Now, I just leave, I just say, it's possible, but I think Charlie is right in saying, it's not likely. I think, you know, he gave light to those who had a true heart for God. I mean, he gave light to Moses, and he gave light to David, and and these were people who showed they had a true heart for God. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they were blessed and they received more insight. So it's hard to say that Smith Wigglesworth, who was really focused on God, as long as he wasn't doing it in a legalistic way, but
it focused on the Bible.
It focused on the Bible, his word, which is what we're doing,
right,
wouldn't have that light. Now, it'd be interesting, I mean, if you go down that path just a little longer, you'd say, he had that light, but he felt it wasn't time to share it with the world because he never talked about it.
And it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, so that's, I mean, and
I am guessing.
I struggle with that, if that's what the case
is. For what it's worth. I'm guessing that we're going to see a lot of people with this revelation.
Oh, I think that's true.
And,
define a lot. We're not the only ones. We're much more comfortable going, we're not the only ones.
I think the whole key is light. Darkness, light. If he doesn't shine the light, you know,
you're being darkness.
Then his mercy can do things. But I was sitting and thinking, you know, we know God's full of grace and mercy. So, but he's also a just God, which is equally as strong probably as the grace and mercy. So it's like, do we back off stressing a certain revelation because, well, God's mercy and grace will cover him if we, you know. Or should we be presenting a just God that, you know, and the thing I kind of occurred the other time we were together is, it's when the time is the time. And if God has been given us this revelation of who Jesus Christ is, then I've got the feeling that that's something that's going to be very important, where some of these scriptures come into being that mean something, you know, like this is life eternal, and if you don't have a love for the truth, then, you know, he wouldn't be putting light on that if it wasn't going to be something that he was going to maybe make people accountable for, you know.
I'm looking at John 3:19. It says, this is the condemnation, that light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than that light, because their deeds were evil.
Yeah, I've had that kind of in my head when I was saying about the light that, you know.
The light came,
yeah,
and you scoot toward the darkness. You don't care for that light. You examine your own behavior. It's going to reveal things you don't want to reveal, so you scoot into the darkness.
Yeah.
In what translation? New King James?
Yeah.
What does John 5:26 say? What does it say in any other translation?
Your Geneva is, for the Father hath life in himself, so likewise he hath given to his Son to have life in himself.
What is that in?
This is your Geneva Bible.
Oh, okay.
Well, New King James says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself.
Yeah.
If Jesus was a God, he would have already had life in himself.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, then in the next verse, and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man.
Yeah.
Not the Son of God, the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
But you see what I'm saying? Because he's the Son of God, as a son, he's given him to have life in himself. Mm-hmm. But, well, if he was a God, he would already have life in himself.
Well, hard to argue with that logic.
Mm-hmm. Well, read after that. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. That's nice.
It's hard to make him as a God,
when he's just telling you straight up.
Yeah.
All the way through, and all of those that we read, all the way through that, is the voice of a man, not a God.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I just noticed the scripture here, same chapter, 35. And it's talking about John. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's for the works which, the Father has given me to finish. The very works that I do bear witness of me and that the Father has sent me. So it's like John gave you some light. You got revelation. But now I'm here and there's another revelation and light. It's
really going to light up the room.
Right.
Yeah.
Every now and then I ask myself, what do you do with truth? You can't sit on it till the end, I don't think. But
you need a green light, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Something has to say it, so now speak.
Well, Jesus knew the truth and he spread it. He preached it.
Yeah, that's sometimes it's like.
And he didn't wait for all the audience to be able to receive it either.
Right. Of course, he had a whole different insight. That's the trouble.
As soon as I have the fullness of God, I too will act more Christ-like. I'll put that out there in front of all of you, and I ask all you brothers to hold me to it. That's the thing. We go, we don't know, and Jesus goes, I know. I know because the Father told me. And right. I love what you brought, because it's like, okay, we've got this, okay, there is grace and mercy, which is over here and on the other side, but he's a just God. And you sit there and you think about, okay, so us in the natural are trying to balance how this is, and I go, I think that's like the Gordian knot.
Yeah.
It cannot be resolved by man, it's got to be resolved by the Spirit. The Comforter has to come and say, this is true, and that is true, therefore this is, and that comes from God, speaking to us.
And it has to be his schedule, too.
Well, yeah.
I think, we have to be careful, because we want to say, well, yeah, they didn't get it, but he did all this and that, so God's grace let him in the door. But then again, you don't want to say, well, forget it. You're condemned automatically because you didn't line up with what this says. It's like, I don't know, it's,
I'll say it another way. You don't want to leave no room for grace and mercy. On the other hand, you gotta leave some room for accountability.
We all want to think that in the end, God accepts everybody into heaven, is kind of the way our thoughts are.
I know. The natural man would be very pleased with that.
Yeah, but we don't know that, so we shouldn't assume, well, if we don't tell them the truth, God's still going to take them home.
That the stuff that I read earlier doesn't leave just a whole bunch of room for grace when he talks about men love darkness rather than light. But God let him off the hook anyway. What the heck? You know, I mean, you don't catch a hint of that at all.
Well, I'm wondering if that's in the context that when he brings light,
well, yes.
You know,
when there is light,
then if you want to light the darkness,
light.
Forget it.
Exactly. There's light,
yeah.
Then you have a whole lot more wiggle room than after the
light. Yeah, I think so. I think that's part of it. It's
yeah.
I was trying to think of men who. I mean, John the Baptist, I'm almost a little puzzled where he was at the end. Because he's asking, is this the one that was sent? Well, if that's doubt or no faith, that's sin, you know?
He said, he must increase, I must decrease. Now, that decreasing probably included not knowing what having the revelation that he had before.
I
think that's where, yeah.
That wasn't exactly, but I have kind of looked at that before and thought, well, maybe that's the deal, you know. He's lost kind of the revelation, you know, after a while because his work was done. So, because he did kind of chastise the king, kind of, it almost seems, in his flesh.
Unnecessarily.
Yeah, unnecessarily, and that got his head cut off, you know, so. Right. But that, you know, so in that case, only God knows, you know, I mean.
It's kind of like at the time of Jesus' baptism by John,
yeah.
The baton got passed.
Oh, yeah,
Jesus
definitely.
Was filled with the Spirit, he went into the desert for 40 days, he got tempted by the devil afterwards, and the baton got passed.
I think John, for a while after that, was still baptizing, but it was waning, you know, it was switching to Jesus being the one to look to, you know.
There are aspects about John the Baptist that are in the natural kind of trouble. I mean, you could say. He seemed at the end while he was in jail. He sent some of his followers and asked him, "Are you really the one?" Even though prior to that he said, "I'm not worthy to untie your sandal," and so he knew he was the one. But then doubt came in somehow. All the while, Jesus is going around saying, "None greater born by man than this guy." And I go, "This guy had it and lost it, and he's the best there was. What does that leave for me?"
And then Jesus is totally accepting of John asking that question. He was fine with it.
He says, yeah.
He's, you know, tell him.
But for expedience sake, let it be so. You're right, but don't let it bother you.
Well, you know what, though? That might have been what would have taken John home. Because when he got the answer back, he probably got his faith back. Oh, yeah, okay, now I know for sure again.
Yeah,
and then he's in a good place,
right.
Maybe.
Yeah,
you know.
That might be true. That sure could be. Yeah. It's not like Jesus let people off the hook, you know. You have little faith, you know, you've had a lot.
But, you know, there's another comparison, though, with John, and it says, and the least in heaven,
right,
the least in heaven is greater than this man.
Yeah,
he was the greatest born among men, but the least in heaven are greater than, you know.
Yeah.
I just looked at that as to say, like, you really don't want to miss out on heaven.
Yeah. I just thought of something, though. That's a weird word to use for heaven. The least in heaven? I thought we were all pretty much the same, kind of.
Well, he spends a lot of time talking about what part, where you want to sit at the table.
Yeah.
Don't assume there, too much.
Maybe there is a bride company in
there. Oh. Yeah. 20 years of Bible study right down there. Shoot.
Right. There are 12 that are sitting on thrones.
Okay.
You know.
And there's 144.
Well, there's 144 that are on the throne. Absolutely.
Yep.
And you know, there's a scripture that says that before Jesus talked to his disciples and said, each one of you will be judging one of the 12 tribes.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
And then there are the ones that are going to have an iron rod and will be judging, you know, the book of the Church of Philadelphia.
Yeah, there are clues throughout the Scripture that there is some sort of hierarchy, but then there's these overarching statements like, "The glory of the Lord will be so great that you won't care about that." So you kind of like, yeah, the greatest on earth will be the least, would be lower than the least in heaven. And you go, you know, that's so just getting in as the door's closing. Going,
yep. It's all accounted.
Score! You know,
main thing is be there.
Yeah, be counted among those that are there, you know.
Unless it really makes a lot of difference.
Well,
a possibility we cannot rule out.
Well, sure.
That being in a supreme place there is so vast and great, one more wonderful than being the virgins without number or whatever.
Well, and that would come from greater revelation that we don't have.
I don't know.
Sure. And I don't know that he would let us necessarily see that for sure.
Perhaps not.
Then you could go, well, that's okay, I'll back off a little and make sure, you know, then I'm just a little lesser, but I'll still be there. You know, not be accountable for the one that's given more is more accountable. Right.
You don't need an A. You just don't need a failing grade. How hard are you going to work?
Yeah.
He's not going to let us in on those things.
You know? No, I agree.
Yeah, but I cast out demons in your name, but I knew you not.
Yeah, that's right. There's that scripture.
You know, my dad says that one used to say, "I'd be happy just to be a street sweeper in heaven."
That's a good
doorkeeper, street, right?
Sanitation engineer, whatever. Yeah,
that's right.
I get it.
Be all right.
Yes.
I'd be all right.
But it is.
It'd be a nice source of, I mean, humility will be a prized thing in heaven, I'm sure, you know?
Amen.
So, for one thing.
Yeah, and we're kind of going right back to how important is it to have truth with the power that God gives you when you are using his name to not having that truth? And I don't know that I know. I mean, I can see examples in both ways where, boy, you look at Daniel and you look at what faith can do, and you look at Romans, and you can look at, I'm out here doing this because that's what I'm supposed to do. And God says, well, yeah, it was still, you know, still effective, but I don't know who you are. You know,
but what are they, you know, that they're casting out demons and I don't know you? I actually, I went over one time and one of my friends was going through a deliverance, and this kid was there and was kind of, I don't know, as soon as I walked in and started talking to the kid, it definitely seemed like he was very motivated by some sort of pride and something not, it didn't have a good energy. He didn't have a good energy. It seemed like he was very self-motivated by not the Holy Spirit. And he proceeded to give my friend a deliverance, and it felt not like the deliverances that I've been through that were like a deliverance of love. From love, this was like a deliverance out of, it was like a, it was nasty. It was nasty, kind of, like one of hate. And then afterwards, this kid went on this tangent about how much he hates the devil and this and that. And he was like stabbing my friend with his Bible and like doing all kinds of stuff. And that kind of, when I hear that verse, like, we were casting out demons in your name, and he's like, but I don't know you. That reminds me of what I witnessed, kind of, feels like, because I think that, yeah, that kid was casting out demons in Jesus' name, but his heart, it had hate in it. He had hate in it, and he, I think he was motivated by pride and some sort of a brag.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, I'm familiar with what you're talking about. From our own experience here.
Yeah, because, you know, a stronger demon will sacrifice a weaker demon because he wants to be in control more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. So Yeah, I think you could have false.
See, I think, I think we got caught up, well, maybe I probably got caught up in this, I'll say. That what you're doing is battling demons instead of out of love wanting to deliver the person. You know what I'm saying? You want to take on the devil, and that ain't a good motivation, because that's kind of probably where he was coming from.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we hate the devil, but, you know, if you love the person, you want to keep that in mind the whole time. It's for their benefit.
You want to deliver it to be a video game.
Honestly, no. I don't even want to hate the devil. Mm. I don't want any hate in me at all. I want to be unspotted from hate.
You know, just to go back a little bit in John 5, when you guys are reading, I was reading down here, and I got this scripture highlighted. It's John 5, verse 39. And I've been reading this over and over again, and finally I got it put together a little bit. It says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they that testify of me." But in 40 it says, "But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." And I kept reading that, trying to figure that out. And I finally, the revelation came to me and said, yeah, you can sit and read this book, this Bible, but if you don't have Jesus in your life, you might as well read the dictionary. Mm-hmm. Because it's not going to be any good.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I think you're right. I think that's...
I was trying to figure that when you search the scriptures for it, and then you think you have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's what we've been talking about, but I read the next verse, you know.
Well, then I'm reading it. "I do not receive honor from men, but I know you that you do not have the love of God in you."
Yep.
That's the two after that, too.
Yeah.
You know?
But the thing is that you search the scriptures
right.
for eternal life.
That's good. You know, yeah.
Yeah. So you can't just sit, well, I read the Bible every day, but...
You know, that's why, you know, especially in the beginning, we were so qualifying the fact that you have to not be studying the scriptures. You got to be just letting the Holy Spirit reveal them as you maybe read them or listen, one or the other. But you don't try to go in there with a set mind, you know, come as a little child to listen to what God says is in there, you know.
You don't read the scriptures to reaffirm what you already know.
Right. I mean, that's a real qualifier. Lots of people read the word.
In a way, you can't. I mean,
you know,
it's nice to read the scriptures, reaffirm what God has revealed to you.
Right.
So you can retain. But if you say, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is how God does it, and I'm going to find it and look for a backup.
Right.
You know. And
I think we kind of need to do both.
Well, there's...
You know, on Sunday I brought that thing about how John the Baptist talked about Jesus being filled with the Spirit without measure. Well, what that was doing was kind of reaffirming what has been a theme in our church. You know, it was adding more evidence onto the what we consider to be the truth. And I think there's some value in that. On the other hand, it'd be good to bring something different. You know what I mean?
I'm not sure.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I don't know what I'm hearing for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're talking about how you shouldn't be seeking out scriptures just to reaffirm what you already believe.
Oh.
You should have an open heart to have them have the scriptures be speaking to you, whether it matches your prior belief or not.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Okay.
And that was not what was going on in me. Hey, I got another good one.
you know,
valuable as it might have been to say, hey, I got another good one. It may have been a good one. Still.
All scriptures are profitable, but some scriptures are... I don't know what the word is. They're maybe a little more effective. And there's in Matthew 18:3, it says, "Except you become converted and become as little children."
Amen.
I think it says, "Like you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." And anyway, that's a...
It's a big one.
It's a big one. It's an important scripture. They're all important, but that is a vital, you know. Except you become converted.
And he is little children.
And Jesus told Peter, he says, once you're converted, strengthen your brethren.
Mm-hmm. You know? That stuck with me for a long time.
Once you're converted.
Yeah. When I heard that about 6, 8 years, whatever, in the past. Because I, at the time I heard it, I thought, I don't think I'm converted. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, except you become converted and become his little children.
Matthew 18:11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Do you think that the people that don't know that there's a scripture that says this, Jesus is the Son of Man, are the lost?
Oh. It says the Son of Man right there.
Son of Man.
Yeah.
Has come to save that which was lost.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Son of Man.
He's a man, a special man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like us. When we see him, we're gonna be like him. It says, and we'll see him as he is. What's that mean?
Hopefully, we'll see him in the fullness of God.
We're going to see him as a glorified man,
filled with the Spirit without measure.
Yeah,
you know, it's as we were just saying. You know, we got a revelation about Jesus being a man, Son of Man. Not Jesus, Son of God, or God the Son. Excuse me. So easy to turn those two around. And we kept seeing more scriptures that basically kept reaffirming this revelation. So then we kind of started looking for those, and yet we're saying, okay, let's not be, you know, cherry picking. Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah, and that backs that up. You know, you gotta, kind of. Yet at the same time.
It's trying to two sides, though.
It is. I'm going, another one of those things where you, and I'm going to be humble the whole time I do this, but, see, I've got 195 supporting scriptures now and found another one today.
Yeah, but after a while, the balance changes. Until everything tells you that he's a man.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, too.
I don't know what the answer is.
The Spirit helps you when you come across a scripture that sort of seems like it's contradicting that. You get a little more revelation, and you go, no, not really. Not if you understand what it's telling you.
Well, I can't see how it would necessarily be wrong if you got umpteen scriptures pointing to something that you're using them, because you're not picking just one. You're showing a whole thread,
yeah.
You know. So,
and that's the other side.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how that would
be. When I started getting a good look at the Thompson chain and realizing that Frank Thompson was a Trinitarian, and so he made a Trinity scripture out of everything, and especially in the Gospel of John. And once you realize that Jesus is a man, most of those scriptures in the first chapter of John don't say that is Jesus. That's not Jesus.
But to the credit that you were saying, even if you have a whole bunch, if you present it with the wrong attitude, you know, like, hey, I got all these. You know, kind of like, I got one. Well, I got 30. You know, that would still be wrong. So.
Yeah.
And having 30 but being deceived is not too good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I mean, there's a valid point. It's just that I know that for a while there, I was pretty excited when I could find another one and find another one and kind of strengthen my case, because I was trying to take that revelation and make it mine and bring it into my heart and believe it in my heart and then let the Lord work on me that way. But, you know...
But it's not exactly the way a little child would be open-hearted to learn whatever is in there without, you know, it's,
oh, yeah.
It's a different... Now, I make it wrong, I don't think, you know, but...
But so I've experienced it by just going through and reading all the time and trying to have the... You keep getting more, and some of them aren't like blatant statements of truth. They're, oh, if you put that with this, wow. You know, it's like the reason they don't stand out right away is because they're subtle truths to the truth that back up the truth, you know.
And if the Spirit is revealing them, who are we to argue with that?
Right. Yeah.
And Lord, no more light, because there's too much emphasis on one thing.
Too much light on this one here.
Yeah, right.
And a major thing about this revelation is if enough people understand it from the scriptures, it has a real impact on whoever you're talking to. You know? So,
I remember when we first started, when you first told us that you had that angel or the visitation about, if you want to look for me, if you want to find me, go, you got to listen to where I am. And I remember getting up on the pulpit one time and saying something to the effect like, all this makes sense, but stop putting Jesus in this category, because Jesus is different. And the revelation that Jesus is a man, but with the fullness of God, is exactly the response to that. Because if you're trying to elevate Jesus to something other than what he was, and then use it as an excuse as why I can't attain that, you just cut the power of God off right at the knees, and you're saying, okay, no, he's different. Therefore, he, you know, I'm not to be held to that level, because he's different. And scriptures basically say, no, we're all to be held to that level. We just need God to help us, because the only reason, I don't want to be careful there and be too good, but Jesus, with the fullness of God, allowed him to walk the way he walked. And I'm hopeful in my heart that if I had more of God, that I would walk more like Jesus.
When I was whatever your age you are when you take catechism, that was my escape out of the church. Well, he's God. I can't be like him. See ya! And that's what I did for quite a few years. You know?
Yeah.
You know, a little testimony here. I talked, you know, about watching this show on TV just on Sunday mornings, you know, and, a couple weeks ago, I was watching it, and can he teach out the Bible, you know, and all that? Good. So he made a statement, and I'll tell you the statement in a minute, but as soon as he made it, the TV went off. I was done. His statement was, God took the form of man to walk on earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it, right there. I mean, you know,
it's a fairly common notion, I think.
Sure, you know, makes God small, though.
Up until that point, you know, it's just, and it was, you know, trying to claim that God was Jesus, you know.
And they think they're glorifying Jesus by saying that, you know, really puffing him up, putting him, you know, exalting him. Mm-hmm. You put someone on a false pedestal, I think, you know.
Well, and it's turning God, who is spirit, into man.
Yeah,
that's impossible. It's impossible.
Well, I wouldn't say impossible with God, but, you know, it's not likely.
It's, well, it's, the Bible doesn't support it.
Right.
That way.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you got sometimes, all things are possible with God, but God doesn't go against himself.
No.
You know, That's impossible.
Or what he said in his word.
Yeah.
Right. He said, this is absolute, this isn't changing, so. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
It's, yeah, to me, that's trying to make God so small when he became a man. God, why? No, I want my spirit in you so you can become more like me, not me like you, you know. And be like my son. I want lots of sons. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's why there's so much so many things that are so hard to understand. Like where it says in Peter, by these exceedingly great and precious promises, we become partakers of his divine nature. Well, that's who Jesus was. He was a partaker of God's divine nature. And was it not because he was the Word?
Uh-huh.
But it says in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Was that, were we talking about the baby or are we talking about the one who became the Word? And did he become the Word as he grew and matured? From what I can see in the scriptures, it tells us that he grew and he, you know,
increased, it says.
Increased in wisdom with God and men or something. What does it say that? He increased with wisdom.
I believe it says
early Luke when he was 12 years old.
Yeah, I guess it was. Yeah, the very beginning of Luke.
No. 2:52, maybe?
What is it?
Luke 2:52, maybe?
That would be the area.
Well, I
can't get the beginning of Luke. I started at the back.
Yes, you increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, it says he increased in wisdom and stature.
And in favor with God. Now, if he was equal to God, he wouldn't have to be in favor with God either.
Sure. But was he studying, reading the scriptures? He was a scripture.
But
he increased in wisdom and stature.
In favor with God.
Yeah. It's not like it was inherent and didn't change a lick. He increased it.
Well, back in 40 it says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
Yeah.
So he had the grace of God upon him.
Where did you say
verse 40.
Luke 2:40.
You wax strong in spirit.
Oh, okay.
That sounds like a...
when he was listening to teachers, which was part of the way he was getting wisdom.
Both hearing them and asking them questions.
Right. So you know he had to be in the scriptures also.
And they were astonished by his understanding.
So even though he is the Word of God, he wasn't born with all the Word of God. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He was a changing thing in him, just like it is in us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's kind of showing that we can become the Word of God also, right?
We have the potential.
Right.
We can be like him.
We can have his divine nature if we can't just have it, but we can. can have it.
And that seems to
it's
be...
It's obtainable.
Yeah, right. It's a promise.
That seems to be a require, or not a requirement, but a... Yeah, kind of a requirement.
Kind of, yeah. End result.
It's a motive point.
Is the word goal you're looking for?
I don't know, something.
Okay.
We should be...
A goal.
Seeking,
okay.
Shooting for it, you know?
Yeah.
Aspiring to have it.
Aspiring to have it, it should be...
I don't hear so good. What was the word that we laughed about?
Which one?
I
need a little more help, Keith. Yeah.
Cold potato?
Yeah. I don't remember what you told me you had.
A Coke Zero. I was trying to give you a Coke Zero with your lunch. You want a Coke Zero? A cold potato. Cold potato?
I really like warm potatoes.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you talking about potatoes for? I'm trying to give you soda. He's like, I can't hear. And I'm like, that's not good because I can't really talk.
Well, I have tried hearing aids.
There are a lot of people that just cannot get a satisfactory solution with hearing aids. You're not alone.
I forgot them today, so.
I got this ringing in my left ear, and even if I put the, if I just put the hearing aid in my right ear, I get a buzz. That's even worse than the sound I get.
Yeah, I was going to ask him, always when I went to, if I ever get there to have a hearing test or evaluation. Hearing aids, I'm thinking, well, if I'm already hearing this ringing and you amplify it, it'll drive me nuts.
And it
but
does.
Some of them are supposed to be able to kind of tone that somehow.
I think.
Right?
I have had that tinnitus. And I think they say it is the brain's way of compensating for the failure of the hearing, so it should tone down.
Hmm.
And maybe that's happening. I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's happening.
Do you have a ringing to it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm sitting here now and I can, my ears are ringing. They're always ringing.
Oh, yeah. Mine are too.
You know, but
I've had it for over decades.
People's ears are ringing. It's just sometimes it's how loud does it ring? Does a ringing get loud enough that you can't hear things?
It might change its tone.
Yeah, mine can sound different at different times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mine sounds like a bunch of frogs in this one.
I've gotten to the point where I just don't work.
I was sitting in the tree stand and I told this. And I thought, I am hearing every, nature is just talking. You know, I thought I was hearing every minute little thing going on in the woods. Here was my ears ringing.
You're at the door.
16-point buck. I never saw it.
I thought I was so keyed into my whole surroundings.
The robins are back.
But it's amazing how good I can still hear, actually, in the woods or whatever. You know, I can hear... I can hear a deer coming from quite a ways away if it's or squirrels or whatever or bouncing around in the leaves or even little mice.
Well, you know, if it is true that that ringing is compensation for some failure of picking up, if your brain is tuned in to what your job is,
yeah,
you know, then it stands to reason that the ringing is going to subside. You know, you're going to hear what you're focusing on hearing.
Yeah, you know what, and a weird thing that happened here just recently. Yeah, I suppose we could.
We kind of went trying to explain, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear.
Yeah. It's good. It was good service. Good meeting today.
Love you all.